coming in. Let me tell ya.
Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with Brooks Pierce, the president and COO of Inspired Entertainment, to talk about how the company has moved forward with superior content and virtual sports.
The GGB Podcast is brought to you by Questback, the smart choice for the gaming industry's workforce requirements. In an era of rampant corporate misconduct, organizations need to leverage their most valuable asset, their people. Questback specializes in fostering that dialogue, delivering invaluable insight to organizations around the world on the most challenging governance, risk, and compliance initiatives. Whether it's internal misconduct reporting and workplace response or organizational cultural development and leadership assessments, Questback delivers the invaluable insight that drives exceptional organizations. To learn more, visit questback.com.
Inspired Entertainment was formed in London in 2002 as a mobile entertainment technology provider. Over the next decade, it specialized in server-based gaming and became a pioneer in virtual sports betting. In 2016, it was acquired by Hydra, and Lorne Weil, the former chairman of Scientific Games, was appointed chairman of Inspired. Brooks Pierce was named president and COO. With vast experience with gaming suppliers, Pierce has been able to raise the visibility of Inspired in the gaming industry and extend the reach of the company to include iGaming, lotteries, and more. He spoke with me earlier this month at G2E in Las Vegas. Brooks Pierce, thanks for joining us on the podcast. Good to get together with you here at G2E. A lot of busy days going on. Yesterday certainly was busy, and we're at the beginning of a second busy day, but we appreciate you coming by and sitting down with us.
Sure, my pleasure.
So let's, Frank, why don't you lead off with this one, and I'll chip in when I need to.
Okay, well, give us a little history of Inspired Gaming and the products and services that the company offers.
Sure. So Inspired is really two primary businesses. Server-based gaming, so we have over 30,000 games out in the field, all on server-based participation. Our largest markets are the UK, where we're the largest shareholder, Italy and Greece. And the other part of our business, which a lot of people have seen probably in our booth here, is our virtual sports business. So, again, Inspired is very well known in Europe, but not as well known in the U.S., and virtual sports in particular is a product that is not known well here, but we're excited to bring it to the U.S. market.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell us what drew you to Inspired.
Yeah, so, well, a couple things. Number one, I knew Inspired from my past. I'd looked at the company and other roles and saw the technology and saw the products and thought it was a very interesting one. And then when Lorne Weil, who I worked with for 20-plus years building Scientific Games, became the chairman of the company, it was an attractive opportunity. And I knew they had a very well-developed business in Europe, but for a company who's grown as significantly as they have with virtually no business in North America, I thought actually it was a great kind of complementary for my skill set and my background, having spent the largest part of my career in North America. And quite frankly, starting from a zero baseline in the world's biggest gaming market is always attractive.
Mm-hmm. Explain to us how virtual sports works as the technology behind it. Are they essentially an RNG-based slot machine?
That's exactly what it is. I mean, it's really like any RNG, like a ball draw on Keno or like a slot machine. But what the outcome is done visually in an incredibly, you know, high-tech, mm-hmm. ultra-realistic fashion. So what would have been essentially like the spin of a slot machine is actually shown as the outcome with a sporting event, be mm-hmm. it horse racing, be it football, and fixed odds. So, so the outcome is for is basically an RNG, and again, it's just a lot more entertaining.
Mm-hmm. So, to the consumer, he's basically watching a sporting event and betting on the outcome. Is he also betting on prop bets as it goes on?
Yeah, no, not as it goes on. So the way it works is, maybe the best way to explain it is how it works in Pennsylvania. So if you were in Pennsylvania, we've done a deal with the Pennsylvania Lottery. So you go into either a bar and tavern or a convenience store, and there'll be monitors up on there. So there'll be a game that's basically going off every 5 minutes. And they're staggered. One is a car racing game, and the other is a football game. So what you'd be looking at in the car racing game is you're going to pick three cars and picking them out you want to play, and then it literally plays almost like a horse racing bet. You can win, you know, you can win the race, or you can win first, second, and third. And if you get first, second, and third in the exact order, that's the highest payout. Mm-hmm. Whereas the football game is a slightly different one, where there's 16 potential outcomes. So it's essentially where the game is being played, for all intents and purposes, in the red zone. And so one team has the ball, one team's on defense. So you're betting on any one of 16 outcomes, meaning you can bet the team's going to score a touchdown and play 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 by run, play 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 by pass. There's a turnover and play 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or a field goal. Uh-huh. So when you're looking at it, you're watching it, and each event goes off in about 90 seconds. And so it's staggered. So you'll have a car race every 2.5 minutes and a football game every 2.5 minutes. So it's low stakes, low denom, but it's obviously something that on a worldwide basis has been really attractive.
Are there different odds for each bet? For example, one of the cars is more favored than the other?
Not on the car side, but in the football side, we have an algorithm that actually you can look at the offense and the defense, and they're staggered. So an outcome on one play is, like, if the touchdown is on the third run, we'll have one payout in one game, and the next game it might be a slightly different payout, either higher or lower. So there's some fluctuation on that, but the car racing is static.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you serve so many masters? You're working with all segments of the industry, casinos, lotteries, iGaming, sports books. How do you manage all that?
Well, it's great because actually our content is ubiquitous. And when I talked about, you know, kind of the two divisions of the company, I talked about obviously server-based gaming and virtuals, but I didn't really talk about the interactive component, which we actually serve that content on both sides through an interactive platforms as well. So online, mobile phone, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, it's interesting in terms of not only the geographic dispersion of the business, but also, you know, in a casino, we can be in the sports book, we can be online, we can be on mobile phones. Our customer base can be anyone from a William Hill, who's got, you know, 2,000 or plus betting shops, to we have online customers in New Jersey where you can go on and bet virtual sports. So we really do run kind of the spectrum. So in terms of how do we have so many masters, I actually look at it as it's a great opportunity because virtually every customer out there is a potential prospect for us.
And how, from a government regulatory perspective, how is the device viewed? Is it viewed under the same rules as a slot machine?
It depends on the jurisdiction. Right. In New Jersey, it's ruled one way. In Nevada, we have a deal with William Hill here in Nevada, and we're in a number of sports books here. It's viewed another way. So really, it kind of depends on the regulator. But essentially, what they want to do, just like you would do with GLI or anything else, they want to just check the RNG, and then it really is how the regs are set up and how the customer wants it to be governed and regulated.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell us about the partnership in Pennsylvania with Scientific Games.
Yeah, so Scientific Games is the central system lottery provider, and the Pennsylvania Lottery approached us about providing a virtual product. So it's actually, we did an integration with SciGames, and it's been terrific, been fairly seamless. They are the provider of Keno. So when, as I was mentioning before, when you look in Pennsylvania, you'll see three screens. So there'll be our two screens of virtual sports, and SciGames has a Keno screen in the middle. Mm-hmm. So for people in Pennsylvania, and I know since we're both Delawareans, we could get into the Pennsylvania market. It gives you the opportunity to bet a bunch of different things while you're sitting there, you know, having a drink or eating with your friends in a bar and tavern. So it's perfect. It's a perfect match.
Are you also in Delaware?
No, although we've had. I guess it was this is the convention season. So 2 weeks ago was NASPL in Cleveland, the state lottery convention, and we certainly have now that we've launched in Pennsylvania. We certainly have a lot of interest. And a number of our customers, the lottery vertical is a big vertical for us. So, for example, in Greece, where we have the best performing slot machines in Greece, as well as 100% of the market share of virtuals, our customer is Lottery OPAP.
Let's talk about the sponsor for this episode. Questback works with clients around the world, including one-third of the Forbes list. Questback powers transformative organizations through the power of feedback-driven insights. Sexual harassment, whistleblowing, gender pay discrimination, conflicts of interest, corruption. In an era of rampant corporate misconduct and heightened public scrutiny, organizations must leverage their most valuable asset, their people. When do they see that on a daily basis? What are issues or risks in the front lines? Do your employees understand corporate policies? What are your organizational risks on the ground floor? Questback specializes in fostering that dialogue. Visit their website at questback.com to learn more about Questback's solutions for internal misconduct reporting, whistleblowing, governance, and compliance initiatives.
Now, are you concerned at all that as legal sports betting spreads, the demand or use of virtual sports might shrink?
No, actually, quite the contrary. It's actually a very complementary product. I mean, once the repeal of PASPA was done, because in just about every other market around the world, the primary activity in the location where we have our product is sports betting. So a sports betting shop in the UK or Cecil in Italy, again, OPAP stores in Greece. So typically what we would see is that the virtuals is kind of 15 to 20% of what's bet in sports, but the reality of it and the nice part about it from the operator's perspective is really two things. Number one, it's product at all times because this is simulated and it's just served up. So if there's not a sports game going on for the player, it's interesting because if they've bet on a football game or a soccer match and they have to wait for the outcome, virtuals is something that they can play all the way through. Mm-hmm. And then for the operators themselves, whereas the hold in sports betting is, you know, roughly 5%, the hold in virtual sports is significantly higher than that. So it really is a very complementary product, not competitive.
Good, good. Now, where have you establish yourself in the U.S. so far?
So, online, we're in a number of jurisdictions, New Jersey. We've done a deal with the Michigan Lottery. In terms of the, as I was talking about in virtuals, it's here in Nevada through our partnership with William Hill and in Pennsylvania through the lottery. And we recently announced that we're coming into the North American market with our gaming machine product, our server-based product. So we'll be targeting that. Obviously, a number of our customers from my background in gaming, I know all of these people very well, and we have a product that is really done tremendously well. I mean, it's probably worthwhile to take a second to talk about our opportunity in Greece, where Greece actually did an RFP, and there were four companies that were selected as the providers: ourselves, Scientific Games, IGT, and a company called Synot. And the way it worked is basically you were put in at the exact same time. There was an equal number of machines. So it was really the first market where it was just completely competitive from a standing start. And over the course of the last couple of years in Greece, we're significantly outperforming our competitors, kind of almost double the amount. So as OPAP has ordered more and more games, they've ordered roughly 70% of their games through us as opposed to the other guys. So we think that what we know is the venues in gaming where there's going to be frequent visits, kind of the route business, the VLT business, is really more of our sweet spot than what you would see upstairs at Venetian or Palazzo. So good opportunity for us, and that's the space we're going after.
Are you also going after VLT markets in the U.S., such as Illinois?
Absolutely. Yeah, that'll be our primary target market is Illinois, the Canadian provinces, Oregon, West Virginia, Montana, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, we expect to have our North American product launched in the spring. So this show for us is really busy, showing a lot of people what we have. And, again, for the North American operator base, a lot of them don't know what Inspired is. So we've spent a fair bit of time educating them on our size and our performance in markets outside of North America. And we feel very confident that we'll bring that to North America as well.
Okay. Well, you know, in addition to the virtual sports, you know, your content has always been eye-catching.
Right.
You know, even before you introduced the sports, I was really fascinated by the content you had. That seems to be a really important part of the success of your company.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the clear differentiator. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, if you went by our booth and saw our Tyson boxing game,
right,
it is incredibly realistic. You know, we suited him up with all the sensors,
right,
motion capture, and it looks about as real as it could possibly be. But the same thing with horse racing,
right,
same thing with our American football, as my UK colleagues call it.
Right.
and we'll be coming out very soon with a basketball product that we think will be pretty amazing. I've seen the first cuts of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then certainly probably the next major sport that's really attractive for the North American market is hockey.
Sure.
Certainly,
right.
Vegas now. Who knew Vegas would be a hockey town? But
that's,
yeah,
right.
So yeah, it is compelling, and it really is the big differentiator for us.
Okay. One thing I wondered, you have virtual horse racing. Do you also look into the historical racing technology?
No, that hasn't been a market that we have gone after. But certainly, it looks like it's getting a little bit more traction than when I was, you know, here in the past. So yeah, sure, I see. Certainly could be an opportunity for us.
Okay, what are your most popular titles, and you know, what are you most excited about introducing at G2E this year?
So really probably our two major titles that would be known across is Super Hot Fruits,
mm-hmm,
although that's by far the number one game in Greece. And interestingly, what we did is we went into Greece and we had our game designers and developers spend a bunch of time understanding the market, which was primarily an illegals market at that point.
Right.
Look to see what the players would be attracted to and design a game around that.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably the title that most would know us for is Centurion. So like many of the other North American gaming suppliers, we have multiple versions of Centurion.
Sure,
and it
right.
seems like mm-hmm. a Centurion game's coming out every 6 months. But I think it's interesting for us because we have our foot both in the sports camp as well as the game design camp. We have online content as well as retail content. So, I think it's an attractive base for us.
Okay. You have unique cabinets, too, and all the suppliers are coming out with new cabinets every year, it seems. What's your strategy in hardware?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Every time you come to Las Vegas and you see the arms race of cabinets,
right,
it's kind of amazing. And all credit to all the suppliers out here. They're doing a terrific job of that. And we think there's back when I worked at Aristocrat, I believe this is as well, is there really is a symbiotic relationship between the cabinet and the content.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't going to play a game just because they like the cabinet, but they're not going to play a game if they're not attracted to it at first. And part of that is the appeal of the cabinet. So we believe it really is the combination of both. So our cabinets that we're putting into the UK market now is, again, the first curved screen. It's called the Flex 4K. And, you know, probably wouldn't be like some of the cabinets you see here in North America, not quite that elaborate, but we think it'll do very well in the market.
You've got a very impressive board of directors now, starting with Lorne Wheels, somewhat of a legend in the industry for sure.
Sure.
Some of the other board members have extensive business experience in a lot of different fields.
Sure.
So the company really has stepped it up in the last couple of years. How has this benefited you as president?
Well, it's great. I mean, I have a base of folks that I can rely on that have been, you know, the experience that they've had across the business is amazing. Lorne, who you mentioned, who I've worked with for the majority of my career. Steve Safran, who ran licensing for Scientific Games, is now on our board, and licensing mm-hmm. is going to be a bigger and bigger part
sure.
of our business. John Vandermore, who was the CFO of IGT, so he certainly knows the business
right.
very well. We just added a board member, Desiree Rogers, who was the Illinois Lottery Director. So, yeah, for a company of our size, the firepower we have – Ira Rafelson,
of course,
chief
right.
from the general counsel from Las Vegas Sands.
Right.
So the you know, all credit to Lorne for obviously he's been in the business for a long time. He's established a network of colleagues, and yeah, for a company our size, we have a pretty powerhouse board.
Yeah, no question. One more question. Where would you like to see Inspired grow in the next 5 years, and where do you see yourself?
Well, so clearly the North American market is our primary focus at this point, aside from all of our existing markets, obviously Greece, Italy, the UK. But North America is where we see our real opportunity. But again, as you probably would know, with both Lorne and I, with all the time we were at Scientific Games, we did 13 acquisitions in 20 years, so we're certainly looking to grow our business both organically, but as this industry tends to consolidate, we certainly look at opportunities on a very regular basis, and wouldn't be surprised to see M&A be a big part of our future as well. So it's a pretty exciting time to be for a company of our size. There's a lot going on and a lot of opportunity.
Great. Well, it's exciting to see you have this opportunity. You know, we know you've been in the business a long time and have a lot of experience, but this is something that must really be close to your heart, building a company like this.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of fun. You know, having both in Scientific Games and Aristocrat, obviously very big, successful companies, but this is kind of feels a little bit like going back to our roots, where we're much smaller and we're kind of coming up from the ground floor. And and honestly, the climb has always been the fun part for us. So we're pretty excited. We think we've got a pretty good position here.
Great. Well, congratulations on your success over the last year, and we'll look forward to seeing what you have upstairs later today or tomorrow.
Great. Thank you very much. Always good to see both of you.
Enjoyed this episode of the GGP Podcast brought to you by Questback. To learn more about the services provided by this company, visit questback.com. To read more about Inspired Entertainment and everything about the gaming industry, visit ggbmagazine.com. For weekly updates on all the news of the gaming industry, visit ggbnews.com. And to find the best bonuses and promotions for iGaming and how to attract more players to your legal iGaming or sports betting site, visit igamingplayer.com. Follow us on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz and on Facebook and LinkedIn at Global Gaming Business Magazine. And don't forget to sign up for the UNLV Gaming and Education Series final session of the year on December 13. Attend both sessions for the price of one and learn about the latest in player development and payment processing. Hear from the most experienced and respected experts talk about these important fields in the gaming business. Sign up to attend the events at UNLV's Stan Fulton Building, stream it online, or register to listen to the session at any time. To sign up, visit unlvghes.com. That's it for today. Hope to see you next week for the GGP Podcast. Yeah, yeah, yeah.